Well, I appreciate everybody that is here this morning. I trust the Lord will bless the word of the Lord. Thinking this morning about the little foxes. I'm also thinking about stumbling blocks. I'd like this morning to read out of the first chapter of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is kind of a hard book to find. So if you're looking in your Bible for it, Zephaniah is right after Habakkuk, which is also kind of hard to find. But it's right towards the end of the Old Testament, and it's right before Haggai. That's where Zephaniah is. Right in between Habakkuk and Haggai, and it's only couple pages long, but it's important. Zephaniah was a true prophet of God. He was a man of God, and he lived during a time where he was facing a corrupt and godless Judah. Judah contained people that were God's chosen people originally. But they had allowed things to come among them that caused them to become corrupted and ungodly. Not godly, but ungodly and wicked. And God is not a respecter of persons. And just because they were God's chosen people, they had turned away from God. And so God had some words to give them. And he used Zephaniah, his prophet, a man of God, to deliver to them his words. And the words that he delivered to Judah were not intended to be words that caused them to feel real warm inside. But rather, they were intended to reach those that would perhaps ask for forgiveness. They were intended for those that were honest in their hearts, that maybe they would bow down in repentance before God. And it was also meant to be a warning, a heads up, if you will, of the destruction that was going to come to those that were wicked, to the people because of their transgressions. And so he brought these words, and I just want you to know at the outset that these three verses or so, two or three verses that I'd like to read, they're not necessarily verses that are going to cause you to feel lifted up. But there's a message in these verses that will help keep us lifted up. And that's what I want to get a hold of. We're interested in going to heaven today. Aren't you? I don't want to miss heaven. I want to make heaven my home. And if I need to read verses that get my attention, I want to read the verses to get my attention. If it will help me get to the end of the way and be able to make my eternal home with Jesus Christ. So that's the intent of the message this morning. In the second verse of the first chapter of Zephaniah, through the words of God's prophet, says, "I will utterly consume all the things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord." And I note here that as you step through these verses, the Lord began to bring out that he was going to utterly consume, and then he began to go through all the things, many of the things that were alive. Things that were alive. Beast, man, fowls of the air, fowls of the heaven, the scripture said, fishes of the sea. And so when you think about that, the Lord looked down upon what He saw was wickedness, transgression against the God of heaven, who wanted the very best for them in life, just like He wants for us. He wants the best for us in life. And sometimes He has to do things to correct us so that He can get us back on the right path. So that honest souls, so that those that have a desire to live right, that we can get back on the right path so that He can offer us what's best in this life and what's best in eternal life. And when He looked down upon His people and He saw the wickedness, He said, I'm going to consume the things that are in it, in the heavens. I'm going to consume the things that are on the earth, alive things, the birds, man and beast, and the fishes of the sea. But then this caught my attention. This is what inspired me with this message this morning. He said, and the stumbling blocks. The stumbling blocks in this case weren't alive. They were things that got in between God and man. In this case, they were idols. My margin says, or idols. For stumbling blocks. People had allowed man-made things to get in between them and serving God. And they let those things take the place that God wanted to take, that God wanted to assume in our lives, places that God wanted to assume in our lives. And they let things come in. And the one thing that has struck me in reading through the Old Testament is over and over again you read of good kings, many kings that were good, and it talked about, and they served God, and they honored God. But in some cases it said they still had the groves, and they still had some high places, and in not all cases were they all cut down from generations before. We talked in Sunday school today about those things that can get passed on from generation and then cause problems that maybe you wouldn't think would cause a problem. And in some cases, there were idols. There were places, high places that weren't dedicated to the Lord that could cause a problem that were left. They weren't taken down. And in many cases, people began to look to these high places when God wanted to be the one that was looked to. They gave their time and their attention to things that God wanted them to give their time and attention to. And it got in between them and God. Well, we don't have so much graven images today. We don't in the United States. There's some. But in most cases, our idols aren't in the form of a graven image that we bow down to. We most often don't have literal high places that we go and worship things that are God is displeased with, that are inanimate objects. But we have a lot of idols in this world. And there are a lot of stumbling blocks in this world. A lot of stumbling blocks that if we're not really careful, we can begin to minimize the effect of a stumbling block. The scripture said stumbling blocks. That's the word that the King James Version says. It says stumbling blocks. And I begin to think of things in life that can be a stumbling block that gets in the way of us pursuing righteousness and eternal life. And if the Lord not only planned to consume the wicked in this case, but also the stumbling blocks, I began to think about how God wants us to pay attention to the stumbling blocks that potentially are in our lives. And that we do what we can to eliminate the stumbling blocks in our lives or put things in their rightful place and make sure that we don't have things in areas and places that God wants to be. I remember, if you'll allow me, a life lesson that I learned when I was in elementary school. I remember one day in elementary, I think I was in the sixth grade. Some of us boys decided we're going to play football after school. And we were rough and tumble boys. We're going to play tackle football. We weren't playing touch football. This was tackle football. And we found a field that was not far from the school, and so we started playing football, and I found myself with the ball headed towards the goal line. And I was almost to the goal line. And all that stood between me and the goal line was probably the smallest boy on the whole field. And by this time I was starting to feel overconfident. And there was the goal line, and all that was there was this little boy. And just before I got to him, out I heard somebody holler, "Hit him low." Well, I didn't pay as much attention as I should have paid attention to it. And right before we made contact, that was another mistake. I decided to go over the top of him rather than around him. And right before, the instant before I made contact, imagining him to be down and me across the goal line moments later, I saw him and then he disappeared and he was gone. And the next thing I knew, I was getting real acquainted with the grass and the dirt. I was put in, and I couldn't hardly figure out what happened. He didn't try to tackle me. He didn't try to grab a hold of me. He didn't try to be big and bad and present himself as the biggest thing on the field. He just dropped to all fours. Right before we made contact, I think he closed his eyes and dropped to all fours. And I went right over the top of him and landed on the ground. And it was a life lesson for me that I never, ever forgot in life. Because I did not take seriously enough what I thought was little and small. It wasn't the biggest players that took me down. It was not the things that I took most seriously on my way to the goal that tripped me up. It was the thing that I took for granted. It was the thing that I thought, no problem. Not an issue. Don't even need to worry about it. And that was the thing that took me down. And I have never, ever forgotten that instant in life. People devoted to serving Jesus Christ. If we're going to be devoted on getting across the goal line, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want to get through this life and not get tripped up, we have got to take seriously and recognize the stumbling blocks that are in our path. We can't look at things that we know are trying to stand between us and the goal line or that are a hindrance to us and discount it because our lives are at stake. It's going to mean everything this morning to be able to make heaven our home. A stumbling block is a circumstance that causes difficulty or hesitation. A stumbling block is a hindrance. It's an impediment. It's a pitfall. It's an obstacle. And we are literally running the race of our life this morning. Whether you recognize it or not, we are running the race of our life and eternity is at stake. And we have such a great responsibility for ourselves and for those that are around us to do everything that we can to be successful in this run. Because I don't know when the end of this race is going to be for me. It might be way out ahead in terms of time in this life, but it might not. And all of us here today, that's been made painfully aware to us. that we don't know where the finish line is for us. It might be right upon us. And it is not worth this morning tolerating and allowing stumbling blocks and things that hinder us from running our race. It's why would we wear oversized steel-toed boots to run a race when we have tennis shoes in our closet, when our life depends on it? Why would we do that? Well, I like the way they feel. I might get off path somewhere and you know, steel-toed boots, there's a lot of good reason to wear them. But there might be a lot of better reasons not to. There's always reasons. We always have reasons to do what we want to do. There's always what we believe are good reasons for living how we do, for making decisions how we make decisions. Always reasons. But there might be better reasons in how we make decisions when we think in terms of what is our goal in life, really? Really, what is our goal in life? What are we trying to do? What's the end game with this all? It should be that we understand that it's all about us falling in line with Jesus Christ, to following our Savior, to being a disciple, a dependable servant of God, and doing everything I can to help others win this race too. And then when I see obstacles, when I see things that would hinder me in getting to the end successfully, that I would take it seriously. That I wouldn't minimize the little things. It's often the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, that's a verse in the Bible. It's not just a saying. Song of Solomon 2:15. Little foxes that spoil the vine. I'd like to consider foxes for a minute. I think foxes are cute. I always like seeing a fox. I don't see very many. I haven't seen very many of them, but I have seen a few. And for the little amount of time that you get to look at one, and I'm not talking about in the zoo, there's something about them that they're intriguing. They're cute. But I've also read that foxes are almost impossible to domesticate. You can get a little baby fox and try to turn it into a little dog that does what you want it to do. I don't have any personal experience with it, but my understanding is they're almost impossible to domesticate. And if you keep a fox around, they might look cute, but they're probably going to do some things that aren't very cute to things that you place value on. Foxes are fast. They're hard to catch. Foxes are cunning. And foxes are little. And it's easy sometimes to underestimate the little things. When you compare a fox to a lion and a tiger, you're almost ready to discount that. It's like, I need to focus on the lion and the tiger. Don't have to worry so much about the fox. But it's the little things in our lives sometimes that can destroy us and bring us down. Things that we can become comfortable with. There's always a progression. You know that there's a progression to sin? There's a progression to the small things. With Christian people, a lot of times the enemy doesn't come along often and present us with, if I can say it this way, the big, grand, bad, large sins, and says, here, do this. But often what the enemy does to Christians, he comes in and presents something that looks seemingly innocent and maybe small, and a lot of good reasons to allow it to have a place in our lives. And we think that we have control over those things a lot of times. But sin often ends up in our lives because there's a progression to the things that start off as manageable and controllable and not even sin. It's like a wave out in the ocean that starts small, just a small wave, and you can jump over it, you can stand there, and it could go right through you and it doesn't really affect you. But with time, those little small waves gain size and they gain momentum. And about the time you think you have it all figured out and you turn your back to it because it's just a small little thing, those little things sometimes can turn into big things and drown people. And sin's like that. Sin starts with exposure to something that can lead to wrong. And you bear with me, you probably heard me say this multiple times, and Lord willing, I'll continue to say it. The progression that hopefully we can get our arms around and internalize the reality of progression. That often things start with just exposure. You're exposed to something that may seem harmless. And pretty soon, after a while, that exposure turns into familiarity, and you're familiar with it. It's not an unknown. I know about that. It's all around me all the time. And then familiarity breeds tolerance. You tolerate it. You've been exposed to it. You're familiar with it. It's there. You tolerate it. And then tolerance breeds acceptance. Pretty soon you accept its presence. Yeah, it's you know, I don't maybe agree with that so much, but I've tolerated it and it's there and I'm familiar with it. And before you know it, acceptance breeds participation. And what started as just being exposed to something that you thought was small and manageable and something that you would not participate in, you allow it space in your life. And over time, what happens is you become familiar with it because you allow it. And then you tolerate it, and then you accept it, and pretty soon it doesn't look so bad anymore because it's just that thing that's always been there. It's not so bad. And then you participate in it, and then comes the consequence of sin. Folks, the consequences of sin are real. They're real. Sin is a hard taskmaster. It wreaks havoc in people's lives. In this life. Not just eternity. In this life. What starts out as seemingly innocent. Oh, it's just an apple. Adam and Eve didn't start out getting kicked out of the garden. It started out that there was just an apple that they said, don't partake of that. And maybe what they should have done was built some safeguards around the tree. They said, I don't want to get used to the apple. I don't want to get familiar with it. I don't want to start participating in it. I'm supposed to stay away from the apple because the Lord said, that is my undoing. Maybe what they should have done was set up some safeguards so that they didn't come close to the apple and get so comfortable with it that it didn't seem bad anymore. There's nothing wrong with putting up some safeguards in our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to think that sometimes the safeguards are so much what defines right and wrong, because we can do that sometimes. We can put safeguards around something. We talked about that this morning. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees did. They started putting some safeguards around what God said the law was, and then over time the safeguards became the thing that was right and wrong, and they forgot all about the law. We don't want to do that. But there's value in safeguards. If the apple is going to be my downfall, do something to keep me from becoming comfortable with the apple. Just seems like a small thing, but over time, and with many good reasons of why they should participate, they partook of the apple. And then the consequences of that were great. And they were cast out of the garden. So Paul exhorted us in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, And the first verse, he said, lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. And I'm thinking this morning not so much of the sins. That would be maybe a different message. But I'm thinking about weights. I'm thinking about little foxes and stumbling blocks. Those things that can hinder us in our walk with the Lord. That if we're not really careful, those weights that we think, oh, it's just a little thing. Yeah, I know it'd probably be better if that wasn't in my life, but I can handle it. But what happens when you get older and you can't handle the weight so bad, so much? What happens when your children can't handle what you can handle? What happens when the weight gains momentum in your life and then it turns into sin? And so Paul said, listen, this is important. We're running this race. Be careful to lay aside those things that would beset you so that we can focus on the one that is at hand. And sometimes it's hard to put away those things because we like them. And we think we can handle them. But if the Lord continues to touch something in your life, if the Holy Spirit comes along and continues to tap your shoulder, says, this thing over here, it's hindering you in your walk. You're not able to get as close to me as what I would like you to be and what would be good for you because you're allowing this thing. Maybe it's not sin so much, but it's a weight. It's hindering you. It's pulling you down. Let's be open this morning to laying aside the weight. That's not a passive activity. That speaks of action on our part. That speaks of us. That's a verb. Lay aside. It's not sitting down just thinking through something. It's picking something up and laying it aside so that it's not in your path anymore. So that it won't end up being a little fox that spoils your vine down the road. It's like, why am I not growing? Well, because they ate the roots. It looked beautiful for a while, but they nibbled down there at the foundation of something that hindered you in some other area. May God help us be willing to do and make the difficult decisions. The Scripture says, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and the violent take it by force. It's not always going to be easy. Jesus said, if thy hand offend thee, do what? He said, cut it off. Same with your eye, pluck it out. Did that mean that he actually wants us to pluck our eye out or cut our hand out? No, but if there's things that we're looking at or participating in with our hands or our feet, it's better to deprive yourself of those things and go through life having had to sacrifice something that you enjoyed and be able to make it into heaven rather than go through life participating in all of these things that seem like maybe they're not such a big deal, but then it turns into something that results in being lost for eternity. And so Jesus gave us that instruction. I think often we're not going to get into heaven unless we want it worse than anything else in life. You're not going to accidentally just wake up and say, well, what is a really beautiful place? Where is this? What is it? How did I get here? Brother Clifford Wilson said so many times, we're only going to get there if we want it worse than anything else in life. And I believe that. It's not that it's impossible. It's not that it's too steep of a hill to climb. We sang the song, Be an Overcomer. We can all overcome. We can all take the hill. Because Jesus said, I'll carry you up the hill. Just let me carry you. Be willing to let go of whatever you have to let go of to live a life where we can be dependable servants of the Lord. He does not try to put us in a straitjacket. This is not about you have to let go of everything in life that you get any kind of satisfaction of. This is about letting go of those things that are hurtful to us, that cause us, maybe bring some temporary satisfaction, but in the end, nobody would want the consequences of it. And so the Lord invites us, beware of the little foxes. Beware of the stumbling blocks, lest in the end. You end up being destroyed along with the stumbling block that took you down. And so Paul said, I'd like to close in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Paul said in the 24th verse, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but just one receives the prize?" And he was talking about a literal race at the time, at first. And he said, do you realize in a race, everybody's running, all are running, but just one person is going to receive the prize. So if that's the case, so run that you may obtain, because you can't run however slow you want to run and still win, because you got a whole bunch of people that are trying to win too. So if you want to run, if you want to win, you better give it your all. And so he's making an analogy against those that ran literal races. Run like you mean it. We're running for our lives today. Let's run like we mean it. If there's things in our lives that we know are a hindrance to us in our walk with God, let's ask God to help us with that thing. Maybe we don't need to be running with it. We're trying to run to win. He said, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain corruptible crown." There's people in the world that want things in life that are temporal. Like they want to be the fastest runner in the world. They want to be the fastest swimmer. They have to be temperate in all things. They're willing to sacrifice in this life and deny themselves of things so that they can win something that's corruptible. But Paul said, you're running for an incorruptible prize. Our lives at stake on this. So how much more ought we this morning to run this race, looking for the stumbling blocks, looking for those things that could cause us to trip up? God's not asking us to be fanatical. He's not asking us to be overly fearful and to live our lives where we're depriving ourselves of everything for all of the what ifs that His Holy Spirit hasn't even dealt with us on. There's nothing in the Word of God. He does not want us to be in bondage. He wants us to feel at liberty in Him. But He wants all of our heart. That's the thing. He wants your heart. And if He begins to speak to you in an area, and you know, I'm allowing this little fox, I'm trying to domesticate it. I'm trying to tame it. I know if it gets out of hand, and I've always got to keep it in the cage, and I've always got to keep a leash on it, or it's going to do me harm, and I've always got to know where the thing is. Maybe it's better to get rid of it. Maybe it's better to get rid of the fox. Maybe it's better to get rid of the stumbling block. And I know, in life, you don't get to control all of the foxes that come across your path. I don't get to decide what my path looks like all the time. There are stumbling blocks. There's enough stumbling blocks that get put in my path that I didn't have anything to do with, that I'm exposed to, that I become familiar with, that I have to tolerate, that whole progression, things that I can't do anything about, that God gives us help and strength for. But then there are things I can do something about. And the Lord wants us to be careful in our lives that we beware of the little foxes that we allow. Don't let the truth of the Word of God slip out of your life. Don't let the oil of the Holy Spirit slowly drain out of your life because of something that you're allowing. Be careful that you don't let go of all of your standards of carefulness. Being careful. We live in a world where it's just live and let live, you know. This is your life. Just unrestrained almost. May God help us be careful. Be diligent. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. I don't want to become spiritually lazy. But I want to stay alive. I want to keep my fire burning. Because I want to make it home. Sometimes we can We can get into this trap where we start thinking about, well, I think I can get by with it. Is this technically sin? Can I get by with this? But you know, that's a different question than what would the Lord be most pleased with? They're two different things. I want to live because I want to, not because I have to live for the Lord this way. I want to, Lord, what are you most pleased with in my life, and how can I live for you and make decisions so that you're willing to allow your strength and your power and your grace and your oil run over me, so that I don't purposefully and willingly allow things to come in my life that hinder my walk with the Lord. I want to live so that I can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And the Lord wants to say those words to you too. He wants to in the worst way. Gave his life so that you could be saved. He shed his blood so that he could forgive you. He offered us his righteousness when he recognized we didn't have enough righteousness in our own. But we have a part to play. Our part is that we give him our whole heart. Our part is to do the best that we can through his help and his spirit. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.